There's our good friend Billy Joel, and welcome to our pre-show. I say our good friend Billy Joel. I don't know him, and I like some of his music, but that's one I don't like. Piano Man. Never liked it. I didn't like it the first time I heard it, which was in 1973. I played it on WBJW BJ 105. And maybe that was why I didn't like it, because I was working at a station called BJ, and you pretty much sort of felt like that's what you were dishing out morning, noon, and night. What is this, man? Okay. welcome to our show. Welcome to our pre-show, I should say. And generally, our pre-show runs about 30 minutes, and we'll try and get it there. You know, we're going to have a short show today because of a number of things. First and foremost, got a meeting that is coming up this afternoon, and it's going to be about our podcast, or about our website. And the website is undergoing major revisions, major changes, major improves, upgrades. And all of this, of course, for you, our very fine feathered friends. I've got a couple of spots. I've got a spot that I'm going to do here. Sherry's Berries is back as a sponsor, and that's great. I mean, I'm very, very happy to have sponsors. We're a subscription website, and that is primarily our business. And it's a good business, thanks to you guys, and it continues to be. But, so because of that, advertising money that we get is really, there's a couple of reasons for that. You know, first of all, the advertising dollar isn't anything that we go out looking for. We've got a sales team, you know, but advertising money in podcasting right now is so-so. Now, I'm very happy to do ads, you know, in our podcast. That's great. And Sherry's Berries is a good sponsor. And we've got sponsors. But here's the thing. You know, the podcasting business is sort of charmingly amateurish in this way. There's a lot of terms and there's a lot of terminology. It sounds like it was just sort of invented in a garage somewhere. You know, they're not shows, they're episodes, whatever that means. I recognize that they're not live, they're downloadable, and you can collect all 20, you know, if you want. I don't know. But they're ongoing efforts, and they're like shows, you know, individual shows. So, there's more of a TV, I think, model being copied, because a lot of the people that are in podcasting that got in on the ground floor are people that didn't have radio shows. They were entertainers like comics and other people that came from other mediums. So they infused it with their own terminology. That's fine. When we come to spots, we don't have spots that are in breaks. We have spots that are pre-rolls, mid-rolls, and post-rolls, and all that stuff. Like I said, it's charmingly different from the radio world, which is good. The bad part is that the radio, you know, there are radio people that have insinuated themselves into the background here when it comes to sales and some of the ad models are brought over from the radio land people. You know, I'll give an example. I have grudging respect for Norm Pattis. You know, I think he's a good man. You know, we've sparred a little bit, or I have sparred with him. We're taking my shots at him, but he's a good guy, and he's an innovative guy. But unfortunately, you know, Norm has people working for him that are right straight out of the fucking, right straight out of radio land. And radio considers me to be a major pain in the fucking ass, you know, because it's just too much. It's too much fucking work. They don't, and never did, understand what the fuck it is I do on the radio. They don't quite. If I heard this once, I heard it a million times. I used to have all kinds of obviously fans and in the radio business, and I had listeners. But when it came to program directors and general managers, year in and year out, I heard the same thing. I don't get it. Do you understand how fucking stupid you got to be not to be able to get my show? I mean, I'm telling you, you have to be almost clinically defected somehow to be that motherfucking stupid to say, I don't get it. And I heard that from one program director after the next. The program directors that wanted to buddy up and suck your dick were guys that had no balls at all when it came to actually putting the show on the air. Or if they did, they kept it on there for like 2 seconds, and then they pulled it off. Now we come around to the sales guys and the general managers who all just, you know, they want to tell you that they love you. Once they have you, they want to love you. But they don't know the first motherfucking thing about selling a radio show. They think they do. Then comes my show. They couldn't sell that motherfucker if you put a loaded shotgun to their nuts and to the fucking heads of all of their kids. They still wouldn't be able to sell a motherfucker. So I keep trying to tell people this, you know. Not because I feel like running around telling people this, but I always get the same goddamn fucking stupid questions from people, you know. Boy, your old show, man, what a major, massive, great thing that was on the radio dial. No, it wasn't. We could barely fucking affiliate it. We could barely sell it. What are you talking about, man? I got hardcore fans, yeah. But in terms of the mainstream acceptance of our show, it never really was a mainstream show. And I personally blame, you know, the people that were in charge of marketing it and selling it. They were too goddamn stupid, number one, and too motherfucking arrogant. Because the minute you got talent telling you what to do in the radio world, that you might as well... That's the worst affront to any suit in radio, is to actually have talent speak up. And this is a fact, you know. Now, radio today is collapsing under the weight of its own wretched incompetence. And I suppose you could say that you could see that coming, you know. But even as it collapses, they still don't understand why it happened. That's how unbelievably fucking dumb these people are. That's why... You know, I went to the Don Anthony's boot camp last summer because a couple of friends of mine, Tory Ryder and Valerie Yeller, asked if I would be a part of, you know, the panel. And I said, yeah, because I like those guys and I actually owed them one. And, you know, I'll just there's friends of mine that I'll go places for. But I wasn't under any illusions. You know, I wasn't under any illusions. We were going to sit down on a radio panel and talk to radio talent about content, as if that's the problem. You know, the problem it about content and talent, as if the problem is finding talent that can provide content. That's not the problem. The problem with radio, as we see now, is from the top down, the most incompetent and stupid cunts you could possibly imagine running that fucking business. Arrogant beyond all fucking measure because they don't think they got anything to learn from talent. They got to figure a new way, a new model, how to monetize that motherfucker. I got a great idea. Why don't you put your fucking wives and daughters out on the fucking street and sell them, bitch, for all your fucking talent at selling radio? Why don't you do that? Then we have our radio consultants. What the fuck are you guys talking about now? What are radio consultants talking to radio executives about? How to what? How to find new talent? They're not interested in finding new talent, you dumb motherfuckers. Or maybe you guys are in on it. I don't know. I look at all these motherfucking consultants on Twitter whose names I will not mention. Speaking fucking Chinese. Speaking fucking Chinese. These motherfuckers are operating in another world. I could read some of the fucking articles they write and give you the titles to these fucking articles. It's like you have to get a goddamn Chinese English dictionary out to figure out what the fuck is this guy talking about? Your brand. You do have things to learn from social media. How many fucking years down the road are we with social media? And they still got these simple-minded motherfuckers in the consulting business telling the radio guys, you know, don't discount social media. If there's anybody who in radio that ever discounted social media, that cocksucker should be not only fired, He should be where he's most needed, picking up fucking garbage on the side of the road, man. Where you're most needed, pal. Running around and fixing flat tires. Anything other than the radio business. You know, and then we have the latest and greatest, which is all of these brain surgeons have now leaked into the podcasting world. I know because I talked to a couple of them 2 years ago. I talked to, as I said, I like Norm Pattiz a lot, but he has made the classic blunder of allowing radio people into his business. And I talked to one of these pieces of shit in a fucking phone conference 2 years ago. Rude as fuck. Arrogant as fuck. I don't know what, where the fuck I'm wasting my motherfucking time. You know, I was looking for ideas, and I was there to give them ideas. Rather than do your usual radio thing, which is to sit on your motherfucking ass with your thumb parked in your fucking ear waiting for the phone to ring, or to just look at your Arbitron ratings, or what is your new thing, your people meter? That's probably really helping, isn't it? I know I've been listening to the radio, not. But I bet you if I did turn the motherfucking radio on to something other than sports, which is what I listen to, and that's god fucking awful, other than the play-by-play, what would I hear, man? Probably nothing different from what I heard 3 years ago, 6 years ago, except now it's all sports. Did your fucking people meter tell you that? And don't say yes, because if you said yes, then you're so goddamn stupid, man, you probably don't belong in the garbage cleanup business. If you really believe that you needed your fucking people meter to tell you about, you know what happened with the reason why you're into sports radio is because you motherfuckers didn't know what to do with the talk format. You thought it was all about politics and polarizing and alienating sponsors and audience. And once you did a great job of that, you decided to gut that and give it all to sports. And the rest of any kind of content that is not sports related, you stupid motherfuckers didn't know. You know, if it sounds like I'm angry this morning, I'm not. I'm just fucking tired. You know, I'm tired and I'm sick. You guys gutted the talk radio format, gave it all over to sports. All right. Sports is fine. 24/7, five stations a fucking market. What is wrong with you people anyway? Is it just, were you, like Neil Rogers used to say, did you go to school to learn how to be as much of an incompetent, unimaginative sack of shit as you are? Or were you fucking born that way? This is the only thing we need to know. Now, if you don't like being insulted, there is no way of talking to you guys in the radio business. I'm talking to suits now, everybody. I'm speaking directly as if there's a suit watching this, you know. That's a real hoot. I don't know. Maybe I'll take the tape of this pre-show and I will actually release this today as the fucking show. What do you think? That would be bitching, wouldn't it? We gotta take a vote. You know, should we release this motherfucker as the show today? So I'm talking to these radio people over there at Podcast One. These are the biggest. One of them I used to work with at Premier. Guy was a fucking bean counter at Premier. Now he's a principal with the company over there. Because he's got enough money, bought his way into a position of fucking. Now he's a motherfucking programming fucking whiz. What he is a sales guy. He's a fucking money guy. And those motherfuckers, while keeping the bottom line, you know, healthy, they are never good for the long term of any fucking company. Because all they know is how to fucking keep the bottom line healthy. And that generally means, since they have no real ability at programming or creating or anything having to do with the actual art of podcasting or broadcasting or anything, they just keep making these decisions as it pertains to the money. And generally that means firing people, cutting the bottom line. In other words, weakening the very thing you're trying to strengthen. Now, they've also got a fantastic little gimmick over there in Radio Suit Land, and it's called the talent's crazy. Now, what that means is if a guy like Phil Hendry starts sounding off, or anybody, you know, even who is even remotely close to having my fucking balls, they just go, oh, ho, 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 ho. there goes the talent again. Everybody knows they're a bunch of Beau Brummels, just a bunch of psychos, a bunch of crazy people. Everyone knows just how goofy they are. Everyone has that talent, and they just, you know, always complaining. And if they're really sharp and they're really on it, they can always say, well, you know, they do smoke that. A lot of these guys have drug problems, alcohol. That's of course, that's the standard fallback. You know, any suit that doesn't understand what you're talking about generally means, oh, you must be stoned. No, I'm just smarter than you, man. That's all. You just don't understand me because you're dumb. You're a fucking dumb cunt. Now, you can go out and suck every kind of fucking dick there is and, you know, make your number at the end of the month, sell whatever the fuck it is you sell. And that's great. And because you're able to do that, then the company there in San Antonio or Cincinnati or New York or wherever it is, they elevate you. Good job, Joe. And they put you in a position to manage radio stations, manage clusters. There's a great word. If ever there was one meant for the radio world, it's cluster, as in cluster fuck. That's what they ought to call all of their station clusters. I manage the cluster fuck in L.A. I manage the cluster fuck in New York. Do you? That's great. Here's Joey. I manage the cluster fuck in Philly. Well, all you guys are cluster fuck managers. Now, what these cluster fuck managers do then is they take their genius for selling and they become general managers. Now, these guys know all about programming, too. And what they proceed to do is just destroy the station. Now, I'm going to lay something on you right now. And I don't know that anybody's going to understand a goddamn word I'm saying here, but this is absolutely... I was talking about this with a friend of mine. You can talk all you want about management style, but I want to ask you something. In the world of broadcasting, in the world of creating, there are tools. There are tools in the world of filmmaking. There are tools in the world of writing. There are tools in the world of painting. There's tools in the world of medicine, tools that we use. In broadcasting / filmmaking, let's say, those tools up to a certain point in history were very expensive, and only a few people were allowed to have them. Why? Because they were so expensive that we needed to be sure we were giving them to the right people. You can't just hand this stuff out to anybody. These tools, these radio stations, these movie studios, these dollars for films, these dollars for talent, this is very rare and this is very special, and we've got to make sure that we're giving these to the right people. And hence, decisions were made as to who are those right people. Okay? Now, I maintain, ladies and gentlemen, that throughout the history of the most prevalent art form that we have, throughout the history of the most pervasive, throughout the history of the most accessible art form that we have, which is, for instance, taking a crayon and drawing on a piece of paper, or taking a piece of paint and putting it on a canvas, if those tools were as expensive, if those tools were as difficult to get your hands on, and if those tools were managed and controlled by a group of people who gave them out to the people they thought would best use them, would we ever have discovered a Rembrandt or a Picasso or a Da Vinci? Think about it for a minute. Painting, drawing, sketching is the easiest thing to access as an artist because those tools are very, very inexpensive. Anybody can take a piece of paper and a pencil and draw on the motherfucker. You got millions of people, perhaps all over the world, down through history, doing that, and we came up with some fantastic, mind-fuckingly great artists, didn't we? Yes, we did. But can you well imagine, imagine, what would happen in our world if the tools it took to paint a painting, to draw a picture, to fill in a coloring book, If those tools were as tightly controlled because for some magical reason they were really, really expensive as broadcasting tools, filmmaking tools, and they were given only to that select group of people who they felt were qualified, the same way that filmmaking money and filmmaking equipment is given to filmmakers and broadcasting opportunities are given to broadcasters. So you have this brain trust. And they'll decide. And at the end of their decision-making, they sit back and they look and they see how much money they've made and they pat themselves on the back and they give themselves awards for their just incredibly fantastic judgment. And yet, you and I really don't know. Had those filmmaking tools and those broadcasting tools, had those things been as inexpensive, say, as putting a pen to paper or a paintbrush to canvas, and more and more and more people were able to get their hands on those tools and make film and create radio shows, just exactly what kind of wonderful genius art would we have heard? Well, we don't know. We don't know. Because it wasn't the same process as painting and drawing. It was a different process. Painting and drawing, anybody can pick up a paintbrush and paint. Drawing, anybody can pick up a pencil and sketch. But making a movie, being on the radio, not anyone can do that. Because those tools were controlled by a certain number of people. Say what you will about the economic efficiency of that. Whatever, the point I'm making cannot be debated. It can't be debated. The point that I'm making is the real artists, the real great people, the real geniuses at what I do, at making movies or any of these other mediums where the tools of the trade are so tightly controlled by just a few people, we haven't begun to see. And the people that pat themselves on the back for it, look at this wonderful filmmaker we discovered. Look at this, the Alfred Hitchcocks. And boy, they blow it. They give it, you know, just as the wolf said there in Pulp Fiction, let's not start sucking each other's dicks just yet, you know, because we're about to see here with the explosion of technology and the availability of all of these tools now, we're going to see just how good just how good some people are. We're going to see a lot of people having access now to these tools. And I think it'll be very, very interesting. I maintain that I came along, I got through the cracks in the fucking door because I was a pretty conservative broadcaster for 17 fucking years, folks. You didn't hear me between 1973 and 1990 when I basically sucked fucking dick on the air, but I got all kinds of great jobs. I never stopped working. And I made some pretty good fucking money. The minute Phil Hendry crawled out of the box and became Phil Hendry, the weird fuck, he became this very unstable element. At first, it was exciting. Whoever couldn't handle him, there's always somebody else to come along, but nobody really knew what to do with it because guess what? Radio had never allowed what I did on the air before. Radio never allowed a person like me on the air before. They didn't know what the fuck to do with a guy like me. Why, I was weirder than fucking Howard. I was stranger than Wolfman Jack. I was nuttier than fucking the Grease Man. I fucking talked to myself. What the fuck are we going to do with this guy? I don't know. Next. Too much fucking work. And for the laziest cunts that the good Lord has ever allowed to live, to let live on this planet, broadcast executives to have to fucking work for a fucking living ain't gonna happen. Isn't gonna fucking happen. They may think they work hard. I'll tell you what, those guys, those motherfuckers that sell radio, I don't give a shit where they're from, what their background is. I don't give a flying fuck if they were in the Marine Corps or they went to war or whatever the richness of their life might have been before they got into radio. Whatever that might have been, whatever that might have been to recommend them as human beings, they threw all of it into the fucking shitter when they got into the broadcast business and became lazy motherfuckers. Or maybe they're one of those rare execs, and there are a few of them, who like talent and want to go to bat for talent and go out on a limb for talent and try to actually do something. But those guys are fighting a losing battle because they got nobody on their fucking side. They're just as isolated as your average broadcast talent is. All right. Let me get my shit together here, man. We are so, like, this is the longest pre-show I think we've ever done. But I think well worth it. So tell your friends and neighbors. Listen to Phil's pre-show today. God, this goddamn, what the fuck is a post-roll? God damn it. Oh, God, give me strength. Give me fucking strength. Give me fucking strength. Do a post-roll. What are you talking about, motherfucker? Are you meaning put the spot at the end of the podcast? Do a mid-roll. This commercial has dictated the show. Today I was going to do Elcott, but I'm going to just do a regular Phil Hendry pod because this motherfucking commercial has dictated that. I'm not going to do a spot as Elcott. Ain't going to happen because it's out of character. All right. God damn it. Drive-through. And what is this, man? Didn't you know? Letting you go. Oh, yeah, man. All right, I think we're ready to go here. I don't know about anybody else, but Dr. Elcott?
Yes, Phil, it's Dr. Ed Elcott. I didn't know I'd be back on with you so quickly.
But you do have the gentleman.
Yes, I do. This is a man named Cassius. This is a man named Leonard Salvo. Yes, Phil, this is a man by the name of Leonard Salvo. How are you, Leonard?
I'm doing great, thank you.
How are you, Leonard? I'm doing very well, thank you. Well, I'm doing very well, thank you. And your wife and you were Elcott initiates. Yes, it was something my wife had...
We'll figure it out. Oh, fuck. I got an itch in my nose. Okay. I'm all ready, man. Ready fucking Teddy. Bitch? Here we go. World famous Phil Hendry Show.